I desire your prayers this morning. We heard a serious message last night. One reason it's so serious is because I have the risk of not realizing I'm in need of it. Think about Peter. All that time that he had walked with Jesus, and he felt confident, here's where I am. I'm desperate today to make heaven my home. It's my desire. And yet I have the verse that says, be sober, be vigilant. You've got an adversary, the devil. As a roaring lion, he's going about seeking whom he may devour. And it says, whom resists steadfast. And as I look at that, I say, I'd resist him if I could tell where he is. I need to be able to know where he's working, where he wants to work in my life. Because I've got the risk of what we heard last night, that I don't see it. I can see it easy in you, but I can't see it in myself. There's another verse in 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, because we're not ignorant of his devices. It would do me well if the Lord would help me to be able to understand where the devil wants to work. In the world around me, and in my own life, where he wants to work. I was thinking about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, giving his son instruction, and he told him, keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. And I think about that. We think about the heart. Is he telling him, you need to get your blood pressure checked daily, make sure your heart's in good condition? No. This is the seat of my affections that he's saying, guard. If I want to make heaven my home, I'm going to have to keep my heart with all diligence. Because out of it are going to issue things in my life. He gave his son such good instruction. Wrote Proverbs with maybe thousands of small bits of instruction. But he failed to keep it himself. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Before his life ended. And as we heard last night, there was times where Peter knew, this is who I am. I believe there was times where Solomon knew, I'm on the right path, given good instruction. But folks, there's days sometimes between that determination and death that we need to keep our heart with all diligence. I've been thinking for some time, the Lord's been dealing with me, how do I do it? Each one of us, we need to guard our gate. What is the gate? It's our mind. Because you think about it, and I've thought about it this serious, my eternal destiny depends on what I do with thoughts that come to my mind. Do I process them and get rid of them? Or do I entertain them, send them to my heart, and it becomes a part of who I am? Thought about my mind like a radio. If we had a little transistor radio here today, even with it turned off, there are all kind of possibilities of radio stations waiting at the antenna for you to turn it on and accept this station. There's something I want to tell you here, because the devil would like to work in this. When you turn a regular radio on, you don't know what's going to be there. What's going to be a song that may be played or whatever, and it's not what you want to listen to. You know what you do just as soon as it hits? You've got a decision to make. I'm going to move away from this, or I'm going to choose to listen to it. Solomon had, think of a radio, it's a receiver, and then it transmits what it receives. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. One day he had a decision that he made, because there's things that seem in my mind to be politically correct. It just seems to be the right way to go. And yet Solomon in Proverbs 3:5-6, he himself gave this instruction, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. There came a time in Solomon's life where he had a choice that he had to make. And it tells us in 1 Kings, 3rd chapter, in the first verse, Solomon made an affinity with the king of Egypt, with Pharaoh. How did he do it? Real smart idea. He married his daughter. Now, how will I have any problem with this man, with Pharaoh, from here on out? If I've married his daughter and we have grandchildren, there's no way Grandpa's coming to fight against us. I've settled that issue. He received, at like the radio, he turned to a station his own understanding, and it seemed like this is the right thing to do. A thought was presented. There's something I want to tell you. Along with that, there will always be another station that we could turn to, and it's the Word of God. It wants to always direct us. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Had Solomon said, let me check and see if this is right. Let me turn to this other station, the Word of God. He would have seen this. God Himself saying, don't make marriages with them, because here's what's going to happen if you do it. They're going to turn your heart away from Me. He would have been able to discard this one that says it's politically correct and say, God's Word says, don't do it. And I'll take that for my direction in my life. There's a song that says, watch and pray. The tempter may be near us. Keep our heart with jealous care. Is it really that serious? It is that serious. Lest the door a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there. And it's what I do with those thoughts that will determine where I spend eternity. David had the title. King David had the title. He is a man after God's own heart. He failed to keep his gate. Sing to that another song that says, in the time of sore temptation, standing firm, grace will be thy sure salvation, standing firm. Virtue, crown thy soul with honor. Sin, when it's resisted, it'll tempt no longer. Faith in conflict waxes stronger, standing firm. I would like for us today to think about, sometimes we can see the end result of sin, and it's a huge river. Yesterday we came across the Mississippi River, and I'm guessing maybe it's a mile wide there in Baton Rouge, and it was flowing strong. But you know, that's not the source of it. I was looking this morning, and it showed you can trace the Mississippi River back to a small stream in Minnesota. It started so small. It was just one small thing that could have been taken care of. But as you don't take care of it, there's other things that flow into it until it becomes a huge river. That happened in David's life. There was no sin when David stepped out on his roof and saw Bathsheba. It was what he did with the thought from there. Folks, if I want to make heaven my home, I think of the verse that tells me, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. The verse that tells us when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Does he do it independent of anything I have to do? It'll be good for me to have the Word of God hid in my heart, to where when sin is, the temptation comes, instantly this comes to combat it. And as we heard last night, I can't do this on my own strength. I'm going to have to say it's going to be the grace of God only that will help me make heaven my home and end. But I would like this morning for us to be able to understand how the devil works. When David walked out on his roof and saw her, how different history would have been had he turned away. Had he been hiding God's word in his heart that morning, if he had done nothing more than read the Ten Commandments that day and been feeding on those. Because immediately, David started crossing commandment after commandment in just this one incident. thou shalt not covet. That should have been the flag that came up in David's mind, and he turned from it. I will not let this thought remain. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. It started as a small stream that David could have diverted quickly and walked back in his room. But he let that thought continue. Sometimes we can have thoughts, and I want to tell you, they're all around us. We're in a wicked world today. You can be keeping your mind, but you're driving down the road and you see a billboards now are able to give you impure thoughts. We're going to have to do something with them. We're going to have a way to handle them, or it's going to stay in there and it's going to go to our heart. And it's going to become a part of who we are. Magazines at the grocery checkout counter are intended to produce thoughts. We're going to have God in us to divert it. To say, here is the way we're going. I thought about it like if you're riding on a horse that's got a strong will and he decides this way we're going, that I would be able to take it by the bridle and say, oh no, we're moving back. This is the way we will go today. Bringing into captivity every thought. Thinking about the internet. It is a source of much good for us. But I want to tell you, it's one click away from impure thoughts. One click away from pornography. That a person would never go to 7-Eleven and buy it because somebody might see them. But in the privacy of your home, it's different. No, it's not different. Guard the gate. David gave instruction that would have answered his own problem. David said in Psalms 101 and 2 and 3, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Perfect heart, while he's walking in his own house, would have helped him to avoid the situation that he had. And then he says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. God has protection for every one of us today. For those things that we did not set. Those things that we come in contact with just by living in the world around us. God has protection for us. God had ample protection for Solomon. The Word of God would have been his protection. God had protection for David to have avoided the things that happened there. God has the same thing for us today. In the past, throughout my life, there have been ministers that were willing to warn about specific things. And it wasn't always popular. I would like for you to think, now that I'm on the other side of the fence, I would like for you to think about something this morning. Why would they risk it? Why would they risk popularity to say, folks, I want to tell you, I want to warn you about this? Because in Ezekiel 3 and 21, the commission is given, warn the righteous that they sin not. Also, Ezekiel says, son of man, I made thee a watchman. If you happen to see the sword coming and you choose not to warn, it'll get them and it'll get you too. That's a pretty serious charge right there. There have been, because today we're talking about how can I guard this gate to my heart? Because at the end of it all, I want to make heaven my home. I'm going to have to guard the gate. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. Ministers throughout the years have warned me against television. Why? Is it just that the Church of God says, I tell you what, we got to have more rules than any other church? There's a reason they understood that you need to guard your heart. Because thoughts presented on that are done for a reason. To start a thought process going. And now we have the internet. The same warning I would give for that. Be very careful. If it starts you in a direction that gives you thoughts that you know the Lord would not be pleased with, run from it. There were old ministers that used to go as far as to say, be very careful of the books you read. Oh, that sounds like old time stuff anymore. But you know why? I understand more today than I ever have. Why? Because it goes to the thoughts. Everything I read goes to my thoughts, and I've got to process it. And if continually the things I read are not what God would be pleased with, I can get myself in trouble. There was another thing that they used to warn us about. Be very careful of the music you listen to. These things sound like old stuff anymore. We've gotten so modern today. And yet, it's still the same. The human is still the same. We haven't changed. Technology has changed, but the human mind has not. It's still processing information. When we sing out of our red books, the same intention is there, to produce thoughts in my mind. When we sing at the end of a service and we call an altar call song, there's a purpose for that. The Lord wants it to produce thoughts in your mind, and you think serious about your soul. When we are in need of comfort, there are songs that are intended by God to produce thoughts in my mind. I'm not going through this alone. Amen. You know what? The devil has the same plan. He wants to produce thoughts from the music that we will listen to that will lead us down the wrong path. I will set no wicked thing before me. God has power to protect me from the things that I did not set. Whenever I walk into an auto zone and I need to buy an auto part, and I hear a song going that is producing thoughts, they were intended to produce thoughts of impure living, got to deal with it. But I want to tell you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him if I was not the one that said it. When I said it, I'm on my own. We're living in dangerous times today. My soul be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. And many of those, I've thought about this. You can't sin without it being a thought first. Is that true? It says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. So people could do the same thing, and if they had not the knowledge, if it had not gone through the process first and they understand it to be wrong, two different people are weighed on different levels. I want to move into another area. Our thoughts are in the secret category. You don't know mine, and I don't know yours. Until you act on it, then you know. These last few weeks in the news, a man's name has come up. Jared Fogel, the Subway guy. Oh, as I read his story of when he started out, he had no intentions of fame. He was just a college student that had probably been eating too much junk food and weighed too much and decided, I'm going to do something about it. And he chose to eat healthy at Subway and lost a lot of weight. And it said it started out just that there was nothing to it. It was his college newspaper heard about it and put it in a little article in the newspaper at the college saying how much weight he had lost by eating at Subway. And Subway happened to read it and called him up and said, you're our man. We'd like for you to advertise for us. And somehow he had the ability. I couldn't do it. I can't sell. But somehow he had the ability to portray Subway in a way. I read another article and it said, out of all of these things that have been sold in the past, he was probably the most successful at what he sold. They made billions of dollars just off of the way he portrayed how he did it. Self-control. No one knows what you're thinking until you act on it. He's going to prison for 15 years. He lost his family. He lost his children. She's divorcing him. Everything good is gone. It's a river now, caught in child pornography. You could trace it back to the stream. It started with a thought that was not dismissed. For every one of us, when we see the small little stream, it seems like this is no big deal. It'll become a river. If we release it to go to our heart and it becomes a part of who we are, someday it's going to come out.
Yes.
Thought of another example. Naboth, the king, he has all kinds of power. But it almost sounded like he wanted to do it right. He went to Naboth and he said, I want to buy your vineyard. It's right next to mine. I want to plant a garden of herbs. Would you sell me your vineyard? There is not a thing wrong with that. But a thought was presented to the king. When Naboth said, there's no way I could sell it. This is my inheritance from my family. Sin resisted will tempt no longer. But King Ahab failed to resist temptation. In his mind, that thing just grew and grew. I have got to have it. Till he went home and pouted. And his wife, who was more wicked than he was, said, I can get it for you. If he had been just taking a look at nothing more than the Ten Commandments, how he would have spared himself, because he crossed several of them.
Yes.
Thou shalt not bear false witness. To the point of Naboth was an honorable man. The only way we're going to nail him is we're going to have to get somebody, the sons of Belial, to testify against him falsely. So many things crossed. He killed. He stole. It all began with a thought. We read right in the beginning of the Bible with Adam and Eve when God came to her. You know what he did? God presented her with a thought. Of all the trees in this garden, you can freely eat of it. But of this one, don't touch it, lest you die. And it became a thought in her thought process. But that wasn't the end of it. There came another transmission to her radio signal coming in, and she turned to it. When Satan said, God really does know what this is going to do for you, she could have so easily said, I tell you what, I talk to God every evening. He'll be here this evening in the cool of the day. I'll talk to him about what you just brought up. But instead, she took it as a thought presented. And then it said it went on to where, see, it's starting to go down into her heart. Because now it says she looks on it and she sees it to be a tree that is desired. I desire to have this thing. And it one step followed another. A process from the eyes to the mind, to the heart, to my actions. Have another question for you. Where does hypocrisy begin? It begins with a thought. Thought about Ananias and Sapphira. Maybe in a setting just like this, going to church every day with people that they've known all their lives, maybe. And the other people get serious enough about it that we're going to sell everything we've got. And we're going to just live together because we feel like the Lord's going to be coming back soon. Hypocrisy begins when I want to look like 100%, but I want to give less. Ananias and Sapphira, it had to have begun with a thought. Okay, I see this, and I don't want to go that far. So here is what's presented to me. A thought that should have been resisted, even if they said, you know what, I'm not willing to give all, so right now I don't want to even sell the property because I'm not going down that road. For us today, I need to have the prayer before the Lord that is in Psalms 139. Because just like we heard last night, I'm going to cut myself some slack. I'm not going to see it quite like God would see it in me. So this says, Psalms 139 and 23, search me, O God, know my heart. Know my heart. That's going on past my thoughts. But he didn't stop right there. Search me, O God, know my heart. try me and know my thoughts. Come on up before it ever gets to my heart and check me, the kind of thoughts that I've been bringing in. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to ask you another question. Where are attitudes born? With a thought. Whether it's good attitudes or whether it's bad attitudes. I was reading this morning an article in history, in American history, back at the end of the 1800s, of two families, and every one of us would recognize their name, the Hatfields and the McCoys. Said they lived on land that bordered Kentucky and West Virginia. Two families. And the fathers of each one of the clans got into an argument. Had to have been a serious argument, because it followed them for several years until 12 people had died from the fights that they had back and forth. It became a river. It said it came to the point that the states were almost to the point of sending out the military to try to stop the fighting. It was a river then. Could hardly been stopped. Many family members on both sides are now dead. What was the reason? It started back there as a very small little stream. It was a pig. That one family father said, "That's mine. I see the notches on its ear. That belongs to me." And the other one said, "Mm-mm, it's mine." And then they start feuding and the children join in. You know, there are things that can happen years ago. And I don't even know what was the beginning of it. I only know because of the thoughts boiling in my mind that I need to have hatred for this. It was said in one of the articles that I read that one of those old fathers, before he died, he got saved. And I thought, oh, that is wonderful. That he made a turn before it was too late. But it was too late for many of them. We need to guard our thoughts. Because our thoughts will become actions. Our thoughts will go down into my heart. How is it that there is workplace shootings today? And it wasn't just I got fired an hour ago and I'm still so upset that I came back and killed them. We had in Oklahoma just recently someone that was fired a year ago. Everybody's forgot about him now. Everything has returned to normal. And he comes in and starts killing people. How could that happen? There was a thought presented way back there months ago. The day I left, there was a thought presented. I wasn't done right. And that the verse that says, Hebrews 12 and 15, "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." That happens in things like this. When I don't take care of the thoughts that come to my mind, and I let them boil, that's what happened to them. In a year's time, it had become a raging river that could not be stopped. And they would go out and kill people. But you know, we could say today, we're all saved people. Why you talk about the Hatfields and the McCoys and those kind of things? You ever have trouble with unforgiveness? You ever have somebody do you wrong and it hurts? It wasn't even fair that it happened. And if I release it too quick, they won't even think it hurt me. So I think about it for a while. And it extends longer. Because then I start thinking about, I know why they did it. And I know this other one had joined in with it. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And that river started out with just a very small stream. But there's other things as the Mississippi River came down. At the beginning, there's other little bitty, just small streams that feed into it, and it gets a little larger. But you know, you come on down farther and you'll have rivers that feed into it. And now it's gotten to be something that's very big. But I'd like to look at another example, because not everything is negative about thoughts. Joseph, he had so many things happen to him in his life that had to have presented thoughts. 13 years of people doing him wrong, and him making choices of what he would do with the thoughts that were presented to him. First of all, his brothers. He could have started out his 13 years with, I tell you what, I'm in the well now. I'm on this camel heading to slavery, but I'll even up the score one day. And I continue to feed on that. That by itself would have ruined him. Potiphar's wife. Unjustly accused. But did he, when he would go to prison, say, I tell you what, I've got her marked down. She'll pay for this, because there is no way that I should have to go through this. Joseph got a hold of something. And it'd be good for every one of us to get the same thing. In the Christian's life, everything that comes to me is allowed by God. God allowed it to come in. Unforgiveness that would carry me for months and have the potential for causing me to be lost in the end. If I could realize this has been allowed by God, I won't even attach a name to it of the person that hurt me. God has allowed this thing to come to me. When the butler, the last person that could have done him good, went away and forgot him, and he spent more years in prison, he didn't even let it affect him. And when he met his brothers, and now he's on the top and they're on the bottom, did he tell them, I tell you what, I got you right where I want you now. I've been feeding on this thing for 13 years and I'm going to make you wallow in the dirt. Did he say that? Huh. When they were so scared, he didn't even want them to be scared. He said, it wasn't you. It was God that put me here. I want to tell you, if we will feed ourselves with those thoughts, the things that come to me was allowed by God. Job, when the troubles came into his life, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. No, the Lord didn't take away. It told him that the Sabaeans took this. The others took this. But he went through all that. He plowed through all that. And it helped him to be able to say, and be able to, in all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. Because he was processing information. Barely has one come and told him this, till another one comes. And with every one of those, he was able to process the information and understand God's allowing this thing in my life. And even to the point when his health was gone, he still said to his wife, you speak as a foolish woman. Shouldn't we be able to receive the good things and also the bad things? Job was processing thoughts and being careful of what he allowed to go on down into his heart. You ever get yourself in a rut? I have a long driveway at home, and I don't have the money to put enough gravel on it as it needs to have. And rains will come, and I'll produce ruts in my driveway, driving back and forth. Well, after it dries out, I may not get the tractor out there soon enough to level it all back out again. And so I can be driving home, and there's a deep rut, and you've maybe had it happen before yourself if you're on a dirt road. It's easy to slip off into that same rut again. It's easy for that to happen with our thoughts. I get myself out of it and I feel like, okay, I'm going along on smooth ground. And the devil plans it. I'll bring that thought back. I'll bring it back. Sin resisted, tempts no longer. I'd just like to tell you today, if you've had trouble with thoughts, and I'm not just talking about sin, just thoughts. Folks, we're living in a time right now where worry can be a big thought. What is going to happen next year? When ISIS sends the message, America, we're coming to see you next, it can produce worry. I'll tell you all this, bringing into captivity every thought. It's easy to say, and boy, it's a job to do. About 3 weeks ago, we were at prayer meeting in Oklahoma City when I got a message, and they said, there has been a man that killed somebody, and he's on the loose. He also beat a man almost to death, and they're trying to find him. And they think he might be around your property. Now, that changes everything. They said they have a police helicopter over there now searching for him with searchlights. You know, life changes. Instantly, life changes. And I can tell you, I can stand here and tell you, all right, bring into captivity every thought. Boy, I tell you what, it was looked different when I drove home that night. And I drive up to my garage door, and I want to shut it while I'm looking in the rearview mirror to make sure he's not there coming in with the door shutting down. And me and Cheryl's kind of in on it together. She's having me check under the beds and everything. Life has just changed all of a sudden because I got some information to process. Through that night, a noise that I hear sounds different than it did the night before because it might be him. And you know what? Our thoughts can just run away with us. I had it all figured out. I had an old motorhome sitting out there. Through the night, the thoughts started coming. Uh-huh. He done got in that motorhome. He's up in there. I'm going to see him tomorrow. I went to the window and looked out to see if I'd see him coming out of there the next morning. Our thoughts can run away with us. And yet the call comes to us. Keep your heart with all diligence. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would like to be there to help us with our thoughts. Another thing I'd like for you to remember, a thought presented is not sin. It's what I do with that thought that leads me in one direction or another. There's a song that we sing, and I'd like for us to sing it now. You know, sometimes we will take our songs and we will pattern them. Okay, this song is for the sinner man. This song is for the Christian. Song number 358 says, "It's just as I am, right now, at this instant." I would like for us to think about that song as we sing it. Where am I today in my thoughts? Have I been able to resist the devil? The thoughts that came of sin, leading them into sin to Solomon and David, maybe those are not my problem. But I want to tell you, attitudes will get us every one. Because I feel so justified with the thoughts that I am allowing to go down into my heart. And all the while with unforgiveness, we hear that command. It's another station if I would turn to it. But if you don't forgive other men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive yours. If I would tune to that, but it's so easy to stay tuned to, but he did me wrong, and I just can't let it go. And you know what? That thing can feed for years and years. Until we find out the Hatfields and the McCoys wasn't so far back. It can happen with us today. And not just that. Maybe I wouldn't even act out, and I try to even keep it hidden because I want you to believe I'm a Christian. Folks, I got to watch what's in my heart that I'm able to just hold there. I want the Lord to be pleased with my life. I desire your prayers.